Welcome to the PyTech Solutions Podcast, where we bring you the latest in news and trends shaping the future of technology and regulated industries.
Thanks, Mike. I'm Laura, and today we are diving into health and life sciences. This sector is having a defining moment in 2026. AI is moving from pilot projects into the operating model of how new medicines actually get discovered, tested, and approved.
That's a great framing, Laura. And the regulators are right in the middle of it. In January of 2026, the FDA released its Guiding Principles of Good AI Practice in Drug Development. And just a few weeks later, the FDA and the European Medicines Agency agreed on a shared set of principles for AI in regulatory decision-making. For C-suite leaders, that alignment really matters.
It matters a lot, Mike. For years, sponsors worried about a fractured global landscape. One set of expectations in Washington, another in Amsterdam, and a third in Tokyo. What we are seeing now is convergence around risk-based oversight, transparency, model documentation, and lifecycle monitoring. That gives boards a much clearer compliance roadmap.
And the final FDA guidance on AI for regulatory decision-making is expected in the second quarter of 2026. That is essentially right now. So if you are a chief medical officer or a chief data officer in pharma, the message is simple. The grace period is over. Your AI governance program needs to be production grade.
Exactly. And the investments tell the same story. Look at the Eli Lilly and InSilico Medicine deal, valued at up to $2.75 billion, giving Lilly exclusive worldwide rights to preclinical candidates discovered through InSilico's generative AI platform. That is not a science experiment. That is a strategic bet at the board level.
It really is. And it is not an isolated bet. Industry trackers now count more than 170 AI-originated drug programs in clinical development, with 15 to 20 expected to enter pivotal trials this year. McKinsey estimates that generative AI could unlock between $60 and $110 billion annually across the pharmaceutical value chain.
Those numbers are staggering, Mike, and here's what I think executives sometimes miss. The biggest gains are not coming from one heroic AI model. They are coming from organizations that have rebuilt their data foundation. Clean, harmonized, multi-omics data, unified clinical and real-world evidence platforms, and AI-ready cloud architecture. That is the boring infrastructure work that actually unlocks the value.
That is such an important point. The leaders are in what analysts are calling the builder phase. They are no longer running pilots. They are reshaping their data environments, their org charts, and their R&D operating model so that AI is the default, not the exception.
And speaking of operating model changes, let's talk about digital twins. This is one of the most exciting shifts in clinical development.
Absolutely. Digital twins are AI-generated models trained on historical trial data that simulate how an individual patient would have responded under control conditions. The result is what people call a synthetic control arm. It can reduce the size of the actual control group, shorten enrollment timelines, and reduce the number of patients who get a placebo instead of treatment.
And the FDA's January 2026 guidance gave this a real regulatory anchor. It defined the standard for synthetic control arms. The European Medicines Agency had already qualified the PROCOVA method, which set the precedent. So now sponsors have a much clearer path to use these tools in actual submissions.
And the data backs it up. In a recent Alzheimer's disease study, applying digital twins to a completed phase 2 trial showed strong alignment between predicted and observed outcomes. The model suggested a future trial could be 10% smaller, with about 4 months shorter enrollment. That translates to tens of millions of dollars in savings and faster access for patients.
And in rare diseases, the impact is even more profound. You can take data from a trial in one patient subtype and create a virtual trial in another subtype. For conditions where life expectancy is short and traditional randomized trials are simply not feasible, this is a game changer.
Laura, I want to pivot to the regulatory side in Europe because there is a real deadline coming. The EU AI Act requires high-risk AI systems to demonstrate full compliance by August of 2026. 20 mile.
That is right, Mike. And that is just weeks away. For life sciences companies operating in Europe, this is now an operational reality. The interesting wrinkle is that AI embedded as a safety component of medical devices under Article 6.1 applies a year later, in August of 2027, and there is a proposal to effectively relocate most AI-enabled medical device obligations back into the MDR and IVDR frameworks.
So the message for medtech and digital therapeutics CEOs is, do not assume your AI device is automatically a high-risk AI system under the AI Act. The regulatory path may run through your existing medical device pathway, and that is actually a simpler story for many companies.
And on top of all of that, the European Commission published its health package in December of 2025. And the proposed EU Biotech Act includes amendments to the clinical trials regulation. The goal is to streamline and accelerate trial authorizations across Europe. Combined with the EU AI Act, the clinical trials regulation updates, the European health data space, and CSRD on the sustainability side, European compliance leaders have a very full plate.
A very full plate, Laura. And I think the strategic takeaway is that compliance and competitive advantage are no longer separate conversations. The companies that build a unified governance backbone, one that covers AI risk, data privacy, clinical trial conduct, and ESG, are the ones that will move faster, not slower.
Beautifully said. Let's close on what might be the most human story in life sciences AI right now: personalized medicine, and specifically AI-driven CRISPR.
This is incredible, Laura. AI is now being used to design better guide RNAs for CRISPR, predict off-target effects, and dramatically improve editing efficiency. We even have OpenCRISPR-1, the first AI-designed CRISPR editor for high-precision gene and cell therapy.
And the human impact has already been demonstrated. In May of 2025, a team of scientists developed a personalized in vivo CRISPR therapy for an infant with CPS1 deficiency, a rare metabolic disorder. The therapy went from design to FDA authorization to delivery to the patient in 6 months.
6 months for a fully bespoke gene therapy. That timeline would have been unthinkable 5 years ago. And it points to a future where rare disease patients are not waiting decades for treatments. They're getting therapies designed for their exact mutation in months.
It also reframes the business model question. If gene therapies become this personalized, then commercial scale, manufacturing, reimbursement, and regulatory review all have to evolve in parallel. This is where the C-suite has to be in the room with R&D, with legal, with payer strategy, and with manufacturing.
So Laura, if I had to summarize for our C-suite listeners, what would you say is the single biggest action item from today's conversation?
I would say this: AI in life sciences is no longer a strategy slide. It is an operating model. The leaders who win in 2026 and beyond are the ones who treat AI governance, clinical data infrastructure, and regulatory readiness as one connected program with executive ownership and board-level visibility. The pilots are over. The builder phase is here.
Perfect summary. And on our side at PiTech, this is exactly the kind of work we help our clients orchestrate, bringing AI strategy, data modernization, and regulatory compliance into a single program that actually moves the business forward.
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about PiTech solutions, visit our website at pitechsol.com. Thanks and have a great day.